This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. The internment of Americans with Japanese ancestry during World War II is a part of this nation's dark history of racial discrimination. And like many painful histories, these stories have often been hidden, both by the country that committed these injustices and the people who endured them. Although lawyer and author Shirley Ann Higuchi knew her parents had been incarcerated at the Heart Mountain internment camp in Wyoming, they didn't talk much about it. It wasn't until her mother passed away that Higuchi learned just how much the camp had impacted her mother's life and its enduring legacy in her community. Her journey learning about her own history and that of her community is detailed in her new book, Setsuko's Secret, Heart Mountain, and the Legacy of the Japanese-American Incarceration. Higuchi joins me along with her aunt, Kathy Saito Yule, a Milwaukeean who was born at Heart Mountain. Shirley, this book was really written in light of your mother's desire to keep at least part of her life hidden from her family and kind of sequestered in a different part of herself. Your book also explores this story of racial persecution and subjugation, not just through her story, your family's story, but through the stories of other significant families as well. Why did you decide to tell it this way?
Well, that's actually a really good question. You know, when I actually joined the board after my mother passed away from pancreatic cancer in 2005, I knew shortly thereafter, probably starting in 2008, that I would start recording the stories of a lot of the former prisoners and Japanese American families that I was meeting at pilgrimages and other events. So the book actually started out more of just interviews and chapters of individual families. And I tried to get each of the Nisei to sort of represent each chapter and write and be part of that. But the history of the Japanese Americans, especially the Nisei generation, has been known as being the quiet Americans. They don't feel comfortable as talking about their past experiences and wanting to put it behind them for a variety of different reasons. And as such, I was told over and over again by publishers and editors that this book would be much more effective as a memoir. In other words, kind of my journey after my mother's death, discovering the significance of Heart Mountain and the history of the Japanese American incarceration that impacted my family, both on my mother's side, the Saitos, which Kathy, she was the youngest daughter, and the Higuchis, which is my father's family.
It's a fascinating story to go through. Because, as you say, people often didn't want to talk about this pretty traumatic event that happened not only to them, but their community. And this was such a life-altering experience for your mother, your community, and ultimately you yourself in ways that weren't really clear until your mother's passing. What has it been like exploring this history that shaped the person that really both of you are today?
Well, I think from my perspective, and Kathy, I will obviously jump in. I think that, you know, ironically, I think both of our experiences are very different, and they're also in many ways very similar. I think for me, you know, with my mother and my father not really talking about it much, and then growing up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is a predominantly white and in some instances African-American community, I really didn't have a lot of exposure to other Japanese Americans. I mean, I was very much removed and grew up in a white, black environment. So when you have a parent that doesn't really talk much about an incarceration experience, you're isolated geographically and you have very limited exposure. And, you know, back then, our history books really didn't talk much about what happened to the Japanese Americans during World War II. As such, it was pretty, you know, a mind-blowing experience and almost sort of starting from scratch on my mother's deathbed really making it very clear, and Kathy was actually there when this discussion took place, that my mother's memorial money, or her koden in a Japanese term, she wanted her memorial dedication to go to Heart Mountain. You know, to be that surprised or shocked about something that appeared to be at that moment very important to my mother is a very life-changing, revealing secret. It really makes you realize, as a daughter of a former prisoner, that this is something that was really, really important to her, even though she never talked about it. And I think the lesson is, just because people are silenced by an experience doesn't mean that it doesn't have great meaning to them. I mean, it did to her. And I think my journey after, you know, going to Heart Mountain, because they dedicated a walking trail to her after her death, I was very reluctant about participating, because it's hard to participate in something that you don't understand or you don't know anything about. But my life-changing event was actually going there for the first time and seeing the sea of people and dignitaries that were there to honor my mother about something that I knew very little about. And so the beginning of the book and the ending of the book is the journey of me learning about my mother's and family's incarceration experience and getting to know the people that she knew as a child throughout her camp years into adulthood until her death. And it really allowed me to see a very different side of my mother, which, to be quite frank, was a very positive view, you know, a very welcoming view of her. So just think about how much I would have missed by not having that experience of meeting the people that knew her before, during, and after the war.
I have to agree with Shirley. I was invited to join the board, the Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation board. And I have to honestly say, I didn't know much about the other incarcerees either. I was astonished to hear some of the stories. The suffering that they had, you know, some would say worse after camp. And my older brother would also attest to that. He, of course, passed away. However, he said that coming back from camp, there was a lot of racism. And it was only after he went away to college back east that he felt like he was a part of some community. The students had accepted him. And there was not that racism or words that were thrown. You know, Jap was one word that was commonly used. I do recall instances as I was growing up in, you know, grammar school, less so later. But, you know, it's a derogatory term that had been used quite a bit. Perhaps less so now. It's frowned upon to use.
You know, as you mentioned, Kathy, there were a lot of consequences to internment that aren't always discussed. And Shirley, before, you know, you said you grew up in a community that was mostly white and black. You didn't learn that much about internment in your history classes. And I would guess that even today, a lot of American students don't learn that much about this history. I think many people will be familiar with Executive Order, I don't know if it's called 9066 or 9066, but it ultimately led to the evacuation and incarceration of American citizens of Japanese ancestry. Your book, though, gets into really what led up to that order and how it was implemented. Can you give us some insight into what that looked like?
There was a lot of pre-war racism and discrimination against Asians historically. And so the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the issuance of 9066 by President Roosevelt was sort of like the explosion with the explosion. But the environment on the West Coast, especially in California, was very rich with prejudice and hatred and economic competition. My father's family owned 14.25 acres of land, and they were very successful farmers. There were a lot of jealousies from the farming industry. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest lobbyists during that time was the Food Growers National Association that asked for the ouster of the Japanese and the Japanese farmers. other groups also included fishing associations. There was a lot of jealousy around Japanese fishermen. So economically, by taking the land and the businesses and the fishing industry away from the Japanese, essentially opened up, you know, a free-for-all economic boon for the white community on the West Coast during that time. And, you know, as a result, a lot of the economic possibilities were not easily recouped or gained after the Japanese Americans were incarcerated for 3 or 4 years. They had really no home to go back to, no businesses, and their land and their businesses were sold at pennies to a dollar, or they just had to virtually give it away. So yes, you know, the 9066 order was very, very, very terrible. It was unconstitutional. And that has been proven by courts since. But the reality, like any environment, like the environment that we have today in the United States, against certain ethnic groups like Muslims, as well as, you know, the Mexican communities, et cetera, a lot of that is stuff that always existed. And it's usually some event that causes it to get a lot worse.
If you're just tuning in, this is Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers, and I'm speaking with Shirley Ann Higuchi, the author of Setsuko Secret, as well as her aunt, Kathy Saito Yule, who was born at the Heart Mountain internment camp in Wyoming. Life in the camps, as your book describes, was difficult. But as you just mentioned, the difficulty didn't end with incarceration. It really lasted beyond that through business ventures, through discrimination in a variety of ways. How did that impact your generation, the next generation after incarceration?
You know, that's a very interesting and probably psychologically framed question, because I think what it ends up doing is it opens up an area in which, like for myself, being a lawyer, you begin to examine the unconstitutionalities and the unfairness, the essential unfairness of discriminating against one group and rounding them up. But I would consider it an awakening. I think it's also a discovery for children of my generation. And I think it allows, if possible, it allows you to independently examine and assess your family history and use whatever talents or skills you have to sort of rediscover our roots and use our talents to tell that story.
Going back to the impact it had on the different generations, in my case, being sort of like one generation ahead of Shirley, I saw my parents after camp. Now, this I do recall very vividly, and including my siblings and, of course, Setsuko, Shirley's mother. It wasn't easy to come out of camp and to find work. And my father, who had a business prior to the camp experience or the relocation or incarceration, like others, tried to find a job, and it was very difficult. I recall that he worked as a busboy at a club in San Francisco, the St. Francis Yacht Club. And he was wearing his uniform. And that doesn't fit the image of my father later in life. He worked hard. He managed to save enough money again to not only feed his family, but also to start another business again. And his store was in Oakland. And I recall, for me, growing up, that Christmas was the worst time of year because I never saw my parents. And this is where my sister, who was 13 years older than I, was also my mother. And that's a hardship that my parents had to endure after the war, because the family was important, but they had high expectations. And I think it was thinking about the children and what they wanted for them was a legacy, at least that they helped them provide the best education. And that I know was really important with my family and with other Japanese American families. They were high achievers, and there might have been a lot of pressure placed on the children. But I think the intent was that the Issei, the first generation, wanted to see, and the Niseis too, wanted to see their children become successful. And there was some collateral damage with that, as with any other group of people who are immigrants. They come and they have high expectations for themselves and for their children. But I think Shirley's book captures some of the pressures that have been given to the generations that followed.
From reading the book, there is this clear, enduring legacy of what incarceration meant for the people who were incarcerated there and what it meant for your community. What do you think the U.S. as a whole has learned from Japanese internment and still needs to learn?
Well, I think we're still learning. I think the U.S. government, as well as other countries universally, including Japan, which I've been doing a lot of educating and work with, that everyone is still learning. I'm a lawyer and I work in Washington, D.C., and a lot of my work are with non-Japanese American judges and lawyers. And it's astounding, you know, the real high level legal scholars like professors and federal judges are aware of the unconstitutionality and the illegality of the Japanese American incarceration through very numerous Supreme Court cases like Korematsu and the Endo case, et cetera. So I would say the majority of most lawyers and judges do not know and understand the depth and range of the Japanese American incarceration and the problems legally around what had actually occurred. So even Justice Scalia, who is now since deceased, has gone public that it was the worst decisions that the Supreme Court made by allowing something of this nature to go forward. But in terms of continuing the education process, I mean, that's the reason why I believe this book that I've written on the history of Heart Mountain, as well as the museum itself, which is an internationally well-known museum at the very site where Kathy was born and where my parents and my family members were incarcerated, is very important, because the best remedy against racism and illegal acts is education. And by books, films, as well as this museum, it'll be a chipping away of the lack of knowledge on something that was quite significant in our history. And I think it'll actually become more significant in the future when people really, really, I mean, really understand what happened at Heart Mountain in 1942 and 43 and throughout the war years.
Two key figures that play into Shirley's book are Senator Al Simpson and Secretary Mineta, who was a transportation secretary under George W. Bush. And I think what he said, this is George Bush at the time, that, you know, with what had happened after 9/11, there was a backlash against those of color and the Arab Americans. What George W. Bush said was, you know, we can't have what happened to Norm, that's Norman Mineta, we can't have happened to these people as what happened to Norm's family. So I think that message sort of started some people thinking, but as Shirley said, there's still a lot of racism that has to be dealt with, but we're making slow headway. And that's part of what the Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation is trying to do. It's one of their mission statements.
Kathy, Shirley, thank you so much for being here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
Shirley Ann Higuchi is the author of Setsuko Secret, Heart Mountain and the Legacy of the Japanese American Incarceration. She's also the chair of the Heart Mountain Wyoming Foundation. Kathy Saito Yule is Higuchi's aunt and was born at the Heart Mountain internment camp. Saito Yule lives in Milwaukee and recently joined her niece for a virtual event through Boswell Book Company. You can learn more about their story at setsukosecret.com.